Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome to your first session at the Build Conference right after the keynote. My name is Pramalini David. I am a PM on the Windows Accessibility team, and I've been focused on building features that are built into the platform to make it easier to build accessible apps. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today, how to build accessible Windows 8.1 apps. So let's get going. We'll take a look at what software accessibility is. Then why does it matter building accessible apps? Why bother? We'll then take a look at some of the key built-in accessibility features in Windows 8.1. And finally, but most importantly, the key things to keep in mind when building an accessible app. So let's dive right in. What is software accessibility? Software accessibility is nothing but the ability for users with disabilities to be able to use your apps. In Windows 8.1, our whole focus was to increase the investments in built-in platform support for accessibility features so it makes it easier for developers like you to build these apps with less time and less effort. But with that said, why does it matter to build accessible apps? Why think about it? And here's why. Two main reasons. One is reaching more customers, and we'll talk about the number of customers in a bit. And the second thing to keep in mind is compliance with federal regulations. Now, what are the numbers we're talking about? WHO tells us that 1.2 billion individuals in the world today have some form of a disability. Of this number, we have 386 million that are in the working age category. Now, why worry about the working age category? The reason we think about working age is because this is the group of people that's going to be using computers day in and day out at their workplaces. In effect, this is the group of people that's going to be using the apps that you build day in and day out. And just here in the U.S. alone, we have about 37% of disabled individuals in the U.S. that are in this working age group. And that's the group that we'll miss out on if we don't make our apps accessible. So that's the numbers we're talking about when we're trying to reach more customers. The second important thing that I mentioned was compliance. By October 2013 of this year, the federal government stipulates that all communications apps have to be made accessible per the Communications and Video Accessibility Act. And there's a lot of information available about this online. There's a link in my deck. I'd recommend that you go take a look at it. The second aspect about why to consider compliance is, this is well known for most of us, Section 508 of the U.S. Rehabilitation Act, which specifies guidelines to make web apps accessible. So two main things, reach more customers, comply with regulations. And that's why I want to think about building accessible apps. I now want to move forward and talk about the top built-in accessibility features in our platform. I really want to show it off to you. So let's start at the top. Three main things that I'm going to show you. How to make your apps appear larger on the screen. Then we'll move on to how to make your apps respond to turning off animations. And lastly, we'll look at how screen readers can read out formatted text from your app. So let's dive into the first one. We know that many of our users find it difficult to read, let's say, an app like this. Let's say this is a regular app that you've built. And they want to be able to make it appear larger on screen. So what they do is they bring up the charms bar. They open settings, they click on change PC settings, which brings them to this screen. They pick the first option, PC and devices, which takes them to this screen and with the second option, display. And at the bottom, there's this choice that they can make. It says, change the size of apps on the displays that can support it. Right now, it's default. And we saw what the app was looking like. They can change this to large and see what happens. And now see what happens to your app. Your app looks bigger. You haven't written any code for this. The platform takes care of it for you, for free. So here's where your app started. That's what the user was looking at. They went to PC settings, made the change, and this is where your app ends up. You get the support in the platform for free. No work required on your end. The second thing I want to talk about is turning off animations. And back in Windows 8, we had some apps that responded to the setting, and there were others that didn't respond to the setting. And we got a lot of feedback from you guys. We had bugs filed on this. And more specifically, it was a XAML apps that wouldn't respond consistently to the setting. So we heard your feedback. In Windows 8.1, XAML apps do respond to the setting, and animations are turned off. Now, once again, if you are leveraging animations from the standard Windows animations library, yes, they will be turned off. Again, for free, you don't have to do anything in your app, in your code, to make this happen. You get this behavior for free from the platform. In case you happen to be using custom animations, at that point, we give you the choice to decide whether to be sync with the setting or not. So you'd have to watch for the setting and choose to turn off the custom animations in your application based on the setting. Moving forward, in XAML we have these primitive controls, the text blocks, rich text blocks, and rich text block overflow. And it's possible to have formatted text in there. Now, very often, we use formatted text, like bold, underlined, italicized text in our app to draw the end user's attention to a particular piece of important content in your app. Maybe it's an error message that they need to pay attention to immediately, or it's a warning that they need to take into account of. As a visual user, I know it's bold, or I know it's italicized. I know there's a reason for why the text has been formatted a certain way to get my attention. But now here I am, a user relying on a screen reader. I fail to get that information. I know it's a piece of text, but it doesn't tell me if it's bold or italicized and so on. And so that piece of information was missing. In Windows 8.1, we fixed it. We now can have formatted text in text blocks, rich text blocks, and rich text block overflow be available to screen readers to be read out. So the formatting of the text can be read out. And this, again, is free for you. You don't have to do anything in your code to make this happen. Moving forward, and to the most important thing, key points to build an accessible app. Key points to keep in mind. Now, accessibility really lives through the entire software development lifecycle. It starts all the way at design, goes through development, you test to see whether your app is accessible, and finally, the most exciting piece is to get to the store and sell your app and make money and reach out to that 35% of the customers that we would otherwise be missing. So accessibility really starts at the top, starting with accessible design. And we'll walk through these steps today in our session. Now, there are three really important categories of accessibility areas that you want to keep in mind when you're designing and developing your app. The very first one is accessible visual design. And we'll dive into what that means in a bit. The second aspect is keyboard navigation. And we know we have a whole bunch of users that want to use apps using only the keyboard. We want to make sure that those users are able to use our apps seamlessly without the need for a mouse or a touch. And the third category is screen reading. We want to make sure that our app works great with any kind of assistive technology like a screen reader or a magnifier or any such assistive technologies out there. So let's get started with the very first one, which is accessible visual design. Now, back in Windows 8, you'd have found that, again, there were some apps that responded to the high contrast setting dynamically. So if the user started off here, they would go to PC settings, change to high contrast, switch to high contrast mode, and then immediately the app would respond. But for us XAML developers, you'd have noticed that you would have to explicitly restart your app when a user switched to a high contrast setting. Again, we got feedback on this, we had bugs, and we fixed it. So in Windows 8.1, when a user is running a XAML app and they switch to a high contrast mode, you don't have to do that additional step of restarting your app. It's taken care of by the platform. It does it automatically, so the app dynamically switches. Net, the user goes here, changes the high contrast mode, and here's what happens with your app. It immediately responds with the appropriate settings. And it will immediately respond with the appropriate high contrast settings when you're using common controls. Once again, no work required on your end to make this happen. This is free and built in to the platform for you. In case you're using custom controls or images in your apps, you would want to provide the appropriate high contrast assets that the platform can then pick up and render in the appropriate high contrast mode. And there's a great SDK sample available out there to show you how to handle custom controls and images in high contrast mode. Great, so we've got accessible design done, one category out of the way, high contrast, we took care of it. Next two categories, and what do these two mean? Now, to understand more about both of these categories, let's dive into a demo and actually see what happens in this case. At this point, I'd like to introduce you to my demo app. It's a fairly simple, straightforward app. It has a bunch of text fields on it. Essentially, it's a form collecting your participant information so that we here at Microsoft can stay in touch with you. And what I'm going to do is I am going to run our inbox screen reader called Narrator through my demo app here to see what the experience is like for a user who's going to use a screen reader. So I'm going to be turning on Narrator with keyboard shortcuts. I'll be using the Windows plus Enter key to do that. I use the same keyboard shortcut to turn off Narrator as well. So here we go, Windows plus Enter key.
Accessibility C# sample window, editing.
I'm going to tab through each of these fields using just my keyboard, and let's see what Narrator reads out to me.
Editing. Editing.
Now that seems like a problem. It keeps saying editing, editing, and I really don't know what I'm editing. As a visual user, yes, I can tell first name, last name, email ID. But here I am, a user, I'm relying on a screen reader, and it keeps reading out editing. I don't know what I'm entering in these fields. So that's bothersome, and that's something that we need to look at to figure out what we need to do there. How do we handle this with the screen reader? Let's move on to the next fields and see what happens.
Submit button.
Oh, so seems like we missed something there. Let's keep going.
Clear form button. Editing.
So it seems like phone number is out of order. We skipped the phone number and went directly to submit. So let's start over once more so we really
editing.
Capture the essence. So it starts with first name, it says editing. I'm tabbing through last
editing.
Name. Tabbing to email ID.
Editing. Submit button.
Now that's not a very good experience. Yes, as users who want to use the keyboard, the idea is that we enable them to get to each of these fields using the keyboard. And it happens. I mean, my app, it's a simple app. You can get to all of the fields using the keyboard. But the difficult part here is it's not in order. And why does it matter to be in the right logical order? In this demo app alone, what would happen is they'd fill in the first name, last name, email ID, and then they would hit submit without knowing that there's a field that's missing there. They wouldn't have that information because we skipped that field. And so the best way to fix it is to really make sure that in your XAML, the ordering of all of your UI elements is correctly declared in your XAML. So that's one way of fixing it. you make sure that it's declared in the right order in XAML. The second way to fix it is, and this is more specifically, if you are wanting custom tabbing, you do want the tabbing to be in a different order than how your elements are declared in XAML. At that point, you use something called tab index. So I'm going to use the first option. I'm going to actually fix the ordering of my UI elements. And you're probably thinking that I actually forced this scenario for the purposes of my demo. I forced an incorrect tab order. But what really happened was, when I was designing my app, I really didn't think about phone number at the start. I had first name, last name, email ID, and I put in those two buttons on there. The phone number was an afterthought, so I simply declared it after the buttons. And then when I was doing a dry run, you know, to practice for the session, I realized that the tab order was, well, it was out of order, and was a perfect example of how it's possible to have the elements declared in the wrong order. So let me go and fix that. I'm going to exit out of Narrator at this point.
Exiting Narrator.
And switch to code. And I would like for you to get familiar with this code. Essentially, here are my three text boxes. It's, you know, it's the first name, last name, the email ID, followed by the submit button. Then we have the clear form button. And finally, this is my text box for phone number. I know it's the text box for phone number because I wrote the code. So let's first stop the app, and then what I want to do is I want to move this phone number field about the button so that it's declared in the right order in XAML. So let's go do that. And I go about clear form, go about the submit button. Let's paste it there. Let's save this. And let's see what I really said was true. So let's run this app. Let's run Narrator through it this time and see what happens. I'm using Windows plus Enter key to start.
Accessibility C# sample window. Editing. Editing. Editing.
Now here's the test.
Editing.
Great. So we did get the tab order right. It works. It is in the right tab order.
Submit button. Clear form button.
Great. So I've fixed my tab ordering. I've fixed the keyboard navigation part of my app. Now, there is something still bothersome, though. I still
editing.
Don't have a solution for
editing, editing, editing.
That part. I don't know what it is that I'm entering in here. And in order to fix this issue, I need to know how to make my app talk to the screen reader, this screen reader, or any screen reader out there for that matter, to tell it what to read out. So let's take a look at what we would need to do to make that happen. How do we talk to these? How do we make our apps talk to these assistive technologies? I'd like to introduce to you UI Automation Framework. It's a framework that's built into Windows. It exposes APIs that your app can use to expose accessibility information to assistive technologies like a screen reader or a magnifier or any other such kind of technologies. And if you are writing a XAML and C++, C# VB app, you use what is called the automation properties to expose this information. If you are doing a Vim.js and HTML app, you use the ARIA properties. And ARIA is nothing but the accessible rich internet application properties. So these are the two sets of properties that you are now going to be using to talk to this assistive technology, to communicate information back and forth to this assistive technology. But with that said, what's the guarantee that it's my app that's doing the wrong thing? There is no guarantee that the screen reader is not doing, you know, the wrong thing. What's to say that my app is fully accessible? It can go, you know, I have labels on there, and the screen reader is not reading the right information. And here is exactly why we introduced to you accessibility testing tools in our Windows SDK. Now, we as developers and you as developers don't have the time or the resources to go out there and test your app with all of these assistive technologies. So the best thing for you guys to do is to use the Inbox, or rather the SDK accessibility testing tools. And the one I'm going to show you today is called the UI Accessibility Checker. Now, what this tool does for me is when I run it through my app, it actually tells me what accessible information is missing. So what I've circled up there is the first name onto the left. Onto the right is the screenshot for UI Accessibility Checker. Right in the middle, you would see this list of four missing pieces of information, and it says, element has no name. And those four entries correspond to my four text fields here that don't have a name. I'd also like to draw your attention to the extreme bottom right of the screenshot, where there is a visual of what element is currently being reported on. And it's the first name. There's a little red box there. And I also have another red circle which says element has no name. So unfortunately, UI accessibility is telling me that my app is at fault. I'm the one supposed to go fix it. And I really am not exposing the right accessibility names. I want to show you another view of UI Accessibility Checker. These are the this is the results view. You see the tab at the very top. Now, going to the UIA tree view, UIA here is nothing but the UI Automation Framework tree. This tree views your app's elements in a certain order. So let's look at what my app looks like right now. My text fields have nothing in them, and it's calling it out. So these are the two views that you can use in your app to verify, is my app at fault, or have I done everything right, and now it's the screen reader's problem. I don't have to worry about it. So at this point, I know I have to do something about it. So how am I going to fix it? We talked about automation properties, and we talked about ARIA properties. My app happens to be a XAML app. So I'm going to use automation properties to provide these text boxes with some names that the screen reader then can then pick up and read. So at this point, I'd like to switch back to my demo app. And let's go back to code. I'm going to exit narrator first.
Exiting narrator.
All right, so these are our four text boxes, and we are going to use automation properties to provide a name for each of these. So let's get started. Oh, look at that, VS. Well, all of this is built into VS as well. VS is going to prompt you with these automation properties. And I know I want to give it a name, so let me see if it's there. Yes, that is an option. And that's how VS has all of this IntelliSense built in. It will prompt you for the automation properties that you can set on a given element. And I know that I want to do this for all the four fields, so I'm just going to quickly copy this. Once more, let's do that. For all the four fields. And let's give it names. So I know that the first one is the first name. Then we go to the last name. Then we say email ID. And finally, phone number. Well, let's say phone number. OK. All right, so seems like I've given it names. Now actually, let's see if it works. So let me save it. And let's run the app. Let's turn on narrator and see what happens this time. Hopefully something works.
Accessibility C# sample window. First name, editing.
Excellent. So it did say first name, but let's see what happens with the remaining.
Last name, editing.
Okay.
Email ID, editing. Phone number, editing.
Great. So all we had to do was add these automation property names, and now we communicated with our screen reader and said, here are the names, read it. And it did. So that problem is taken care of. And I think we're getting really close. I think we're almost there to get to the store. upload my app to the store, sell the app, and make money. That's what we all want to do. So the only last thing I want to do is enter this form, submit the information, and then we're done. So let's go ahead and do that.
First name, editing. N. Last, shift. I. Email ID. I. Shift. O.
I'm going to skip the phone number. I don't think I need to submit. So I'm just going to hit submit, and
submit
we're good to
button.
Go. Great. So we're all done. All of our fields are entered. Information is submitted. And we can move on to the store, which is the most exciting thing. So let's keep going. Oh, so we have something missing. We have something missing. The narrator didn't read it out. It's an error. I was relying on a screen reader to fill in this form. It's a very basic form with just four fields, and I couldn't even get to do that. So it's important that an error message is read out. A narrator did not read that out to me, and I missed that. Now, why did that happen? At this point, I want to introduce you to something called live regions. What is a live region? A live region is an element or an area in your app that's undergoing a dynamic change. In my app, the submission status field, it threw an error. There was a change in content, but narrator didn't know about it. The screen reader did not know and did not respond to it. So that's one location where you would specify a live region. Another area where you want to think about live regions is if your app is undergoing a transition. Let's say you're waiting on a web service to load some information in your app. Visually, you're providing the user with either a progress ring or a progress bar, and so the expectation is, yes, the user sees that, and yes, you know, they know something's happening in the background. But here I am, I'm a user relying entirely on my screen reader. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea that there's some form of transition going on there. And so for transitions, also, you would set a live region on that element, on that progress ring or that progress bar. So two areas to consider live regions. One is areas that are undergoing dynamic changes in text, or just dynamic changes like how we had happen here in my demo app. The second one is transitions. So let's go ahead and add a live setting and let's live region to that element and let's see if that takes care of it. Narrator should really be reading that error message. Let's kill narrator.
Window. Exiting narrator.
We switch to code. Let's stop the app for a bit. And so here's my submit button, and here's the text block which had the error message. So how do I set a live region? What makes this element a live region? I'm going to leverage the same automation properties again that we talked about, or we used earlier. So let's do that. Oops. And we want to do, there we go. And we say live. I just said L, but here you go, live settings. And you see three options there. You see assertive, off, and polite. Now, what are these three options? I would pick the assertive option if I want the screen reader to interrupt whatever it is doing at that point in time and announce this important notification, this change to the end user. A classic example is if you are doing something like a battery life indication, saying, hey, your battery is really low, you need to plug in right now. That would be a classic case where you want to use the assertive setting. You want to interrupt whatever it is the user is doing now, tell them about this change now. And that's assertive. The polite setting is used when it's not all that important to interrupt what the user is doing and what the screen reader is doing at that very moment. It can complete reading out, the screen reader can complete reading out what it is reading, and then you can announce the dynamic change. And so that's when you use the polite option. So at this point, I'm just going to go ahead and pick the assertive option. You're probably wondering what the off is. the off is as good as not having the live setting, and that's something that we're working on. You know, ideally, we don't want to present an option which is as good as not being there, but two things to keep in mind, assertive and polite. So let's pick assertive. Let's save it. Let's run the app and see if it works. Let's turn on narrator.
Accessibility C# sample window. First name, editing.
And?
P. N. Last name, editing. I. Email. I. Sh. E. O.
So here's the test. I didn't enter a phone number the last time. There was an error that didn't get read out. So let me do the same thing now. I'll skip the phone number. I'm going to go.
Phone number. Submit button.
I'm going to hit enter. Let's see what happens. Does the error message get read out?
Enter. Error. Phone number missing.
Great. So the live region did take care of it. Now, in addition to setting the live region in your XAML app, there's one additional step. Let's kill
narrator. Exiting narrator.
Let's go back here. Now, yes, setting the live setting on that element made it a live region. But in addition to doing that in your XAML, what you also need to do in your code behind file is you're in your button click function, you want to raise something called the live region changed event. So what I essentially do is I create an automation peer, an automation peer for a text block. An automation peer is nothing but a base class that allows you to expose properties or events, accessibility events. So I specified an automation peer, and then I launched the live region changed event. And what does this event really do? Essentially, it notifies the assistive technology, like a screen reader, to say, hey, there's a dynamic change that happened. Announce now if I'm assertive, or announce later if I'm polite. So that's what this event does. So it is a two-step process. You set the live setting on the element in XAML, and then in your code behind file, you raise the live region changed event. So that's taken care of. And in fact, that's how this was, we got the error message to be read out appropriately. So with that said, let me actually go ahead and enter a phone number after all. Oh, and most importantly, I want to turn on narrator.
Accessibility C# sample window, phone number, editing 888-888-88.
Okay, great. I get to the submit button.
Submit button. Enter. Submission successful.
Great. So I've submitted my information. The app is now accessible. I took care of high contrast. We gave accessible names to the fields. We did live regions on dynamic changes of content. We also did keyboard navigation. So we've got all of those accessible pieces in there. And I believe we're good to go. Good to go to the store. That's where we all want to go. So let's kill
Windows
narrator at
exiting
this point.
Narrator.
And? We go back to our slides. Let's do a recap of all of the code changes that we just did. So the first thing we talked about was the keyboard navigation. And then in my demonstration, I went and actually fixed the order in which the elements were declared in XAML. I also talked about how it is possible that if you do in fact want custom tabbing order, you can use the tab index property to set the tab order explicitly. There's the XAML code snippet, and then there's also the WinJS HTML snippet for your quick reference. It's almost exactly the same thing. You set the tab index in both. We then provided accessible names, and because mine was a XAML demo app, I used automation properties. If you are building a WinJS and HTML5 app, the equivalent is the ARIA label. So you specify the ARIA label and you provide the appropriate accessible name. Now, earlier on, when we looked at the UI accessibility checker, we had a list of elements listed there with no name. But now that we have provided all of the names to our elements, There's nothing listed on here, so it's empty, and that's what we want to see. We don't want to have errors in UI Accessibility Checker. So that's the results view. Let's go to the UIA tree view, which is how UI automation looks at all of the elements in your app. And here, earlier we had nothing listed in UI Accessibility Checker, and now we have names, the names that we provided as part of the automation properties. And once again, at the bottom right corner, the visual in the tool maps directly to what your app is, and it shows you the corresponding fields. The last thing we went and did was we set the live region on elements which were undergoing a dynamic change of text. The second spot that you would use a live region is also when your app is undergoing changes. You would set it, transitions. You would set it on a progress bar or a progress ring. Or any such transition visual that you want your assistive technology to pick up and expose to a user that's relying entirely on assistive technologies like a screen reader. So in XAML, it is a two-step process, as we said. You set the live setting in your XAML file. Step number two, in your code behind file, you need to raise the live region changed event. In WinJS and HTML, it's a one-step process. All you do is you use the aria live property to set the live region. Here again, you have assertive and polite options, but the difference is it's a one-step process. The second part about raising a live region changed event is taken care for you by the platform. The platform raises the event in the case of HTML and WinJS apps. Excellent. So now all three categories are green. We did high contrast. We took care of keyboard navigation. We added tabbing in there. We added accessible names. Live regions took care of the third category. So we're all green. What happens next? We go to the store. And when we submit our app on the store, we come across this question, or checkbox, if you will. And what this is saying is, it says, my app meets accessibility guidelines. Show my app in filtered searches to people who look for apps that meet accessibility guidelines. How do I know if I've met accessibility guidelines? Do I check the box off or not? The three categories that we just talked about, accessible visual design, keyboard navigation, and screen reading. If you've taken care of those three categories, yes, those are the baseline requirements for accessibility. We go to get to check that box off, which means I get to check that box off. But why is it so exciting? Why does it matter for me to check that box? We talked about 35% of the customers who have needs for having accessible apps. Those are customers who are going to go to the store and filter for accessible apps. And now when I check this box, my app is going to come up in that filtered list. Effectively, I get to reach the 35% of the customers I was missing out on earlier, broaden my user base, and make more money at the end of the day. So that's why it's exciting to be able to check that box off. So moving forward, a quick recap. We talked about design and development, starting all the way at the top. For accessibility, you start all the way with design. You think about accessible visual design. How are you going to do high contrast? For the most part, if you're doing common controls, you get that for free. It's built into the platform. We talked about how you want to take care of keyboard navigation, specifically focus on the tabbing order. Now, there are additional things that you can do. You can make sure that the arrowing to the various UI elements is right. You can also take care of providing access keys as appropriate in your app. But the first order of priority is the tabbing order. That's the first thing that users who want to be able to use your app only with a keyboard, that's what they look for. So that's the first thing to keep in mind and to get right in our app. And we did that in the demo app. And then we did screen reading. We made sure that all of the elements in our app have names that this assistive technology or screen reader can actually read out. And then we also set the live region. a live region for dynamic changes as well as transitions. We strongly recommend that you do leverage the common controls because this reduces the level of effort on your end to make your app accessible. You get most of it for free. And the next step is you want to test your app. We went through UI Accessibility Checker to be able to do that. This tool is available in the Windows SDK, along with a whole bunch of other testing tools. And there are pointers to it in my deck. And last but not the least, the most important part, you get to sell your app. You get to mark your app as being accessible when you're submitting your app to the store. Here are some pointers for quick reference. In the Windows Dev Center, you can look up the following articles. And in the Windows SDK, do look for these tools, the UI Accessibility Checker that we went through. There are a couple of other tools that I've listed here, Inspect and WinEvent, or rather ACEvent. Both of these tools provide you more detailed accessibility information that might be missing from your app. They're both verification tools, and so these are all available to you in the SDK. A few samples for you to go look up. There are these three samples, and they're great points of reference when you go back and want to recap as to what we talked about. Here are a few sessions that I would recommend. Tim Heuer is going to talk about what's new in XAML, and this is happening today at 3:30, I believe. The next one is if you'd like to know what's new with WinJS, there's a great session by Paul. That, too, is happening at 3:30. And if you're doing your XAML app for the very first time and you need to know how to create your XAML app for the store, there's a great session happening by Harini, which is tomorrow at 11:30. So do give us feedback on the session. All you got to do is scan this QR code, evaluate us, and you will be entered to win a prize. I don't get to enter, and I don't get to win a prize, but you do. So do give us feedback on the session. And with that, it brings us to the end of the talk, and I'll be up here to take questions. We do have some time left. Thank you so much for your time. Yes. Sorry, once more. If you could use the mic, please, if you don't mind. Thank you.
Question is for the, can you talk a little about new regulation? The 508, and you have to compile components, regulation components.
Yes, the regulation compliance, yes. So the question was, can I talk a little more about the regulation compliance? So the two things I talked about was by October 2013, communication apps specifically have to comply with something called CVAA, the Communication and Video Accessibility Act. Honestly, there are plenty of details on it, and the federal government is pretty strict and specific about what needs to be met. My best recommendation for that one is really to check out the online documentation. There is a link. It's not something that we as Microsoft can enforce. It's something that the federal government is enforcing on communication apps. If your app is dealing with any kind of media, it's something to consider before October. In terms of the other one, Section 508, those are guidelines on how to build accessible web apps. Yes. Yes. Yes, so the question was, is this the latter one part of Adults with Disabilities Act? And yes, the answer was yes. Yes, so the question is, we use the tab index to specify the tab order of the elements. And so the question was, can we use the backspace key? Is that what is
yes.
is that?
Mm-hmm.
So essentially you would at that point you'd be specifying arrowing keys for your stack. Because I want to say that if you're leveraging the grid control, that arrowing is taken care of for you by the control itself. It's built in there. This is more specifically for individual elements. How do you navigate? Versus, I guess, in your case, you're talking about moving from one page to the other. And that, if you're leveraging control, a common control, you will get that navigation built in. Yeah. And if folks can use the mics that we have, just so that it's useful for everybody to hear in the room, that would be great. More questions? Well, if you don't have any questions, any more questions, you can have the time back. I do have office hours tomorrow from 2 to 4, and feel free to come by, talk to me about any additional questions that come to mind, and I'll be happy to chat with you. If I have the answers, I'm going to give you the answers. If I don't, I will be able to point you to someone that does. So thank you so much for your time, and enjoy the rest of the conference.